Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's so nice to be here. It's a privilege for me to share this morning the Word of God. And, you know, I always like to have a prop. So I'm going to get a prop quickly. This is a little pot plant that I actually propagated. That's why I'm so proud of it. And I know you probably can't see it, but don't worry. My geranium looks fine, especially since it got some flowers on it. And I would like to use it in my talk later on. So let's just keep that in mind, and you can take a look at it every now and again. Wow, guys, the Lord is speaking, isn't he? You know, I can't actually get over the fact that there were two worship songs today that talk about trembling. And I think I'm trembling a little bit today myself. I feel like the Lord is really saying something. And, you know, the Lord shared with me a message, firstly for me, because, you know, I need to first preach to myself before I can share a message with somebody else. And when you hear the scriptures that I'm going to share with you today, you're going to think, well, maybe God is actually saying something. Because this is not, you know, something I dreamt up in my head. I really believe that God has something to say. And, yeah. So, let's do it. So I wondered if you've noticed lately in the news, on social media, there's been a strange trend in society. A very strange trend. It's like common sense has gone out of the window. And it's been replaced with a really weird thing called relative truth. Have you ever heard of that expression, relative truth? And I wonder if it's even a real thing. Have you heard of the word woke? If you follow anybody's Twitter or Facebook or TikTok or whatever version of social media app you tend to follow, you're going to start seeing these things that are cropping up in society. And they're not nice. I don't think that it's pleasing to God, what we're starting to see and hear. And yet, you know, these kinds of things have been around for many, many decades. What am I talking about? You know, even in the news now, we read things that are quite disturbing. What am I talking about? Well, one example would be the men who are considering themselves to be females now so that they can run in the females' race, in the women's races. And then they're beating everybody. Okay? Strangely enough, I haven't noticed any women deciding to be men and try and run in their races. But perhaps that's coming, I'm not sure. But people are wanting to win medals. They're wanting to win at all costs, in other words. I'll call myself a woman so that I can run in the women's race and I'll get the gold medal. You kind of think, wow, what does that gold medal actually mean to you? They're transgender people who are wanting to be heard. They're Christians who are wondering how they must respond to the pride issue. And don't you think it's interesting that this word pride creeps in? And when people like you and me start standing up for ourselves, we consider it to be discriminating. It's really, really scary, guys. So relative truth is something that the world is selling and people are buying. And it becomes more and more familiar as time goes by. The more we hear about these things happening, the less it's a surprise anymore. And sometimes we can even be caught in the web of lies ourselves. And in the web of modern thinking. Are you concerned? I know I am. There's some things that are creeping in to South Africa and to Gauteng. I know of a well-known school who has introduced some very interesting methods of late. For example, one of the teachers told me that the students are now not allowed to be told that they are wrong about anything, okay, in case they get offended or hurt. So you're not allowed to say that this is wrong. In sport, competitiveness is now not encouraged anymore. Why? Because it's not really fair if only one person wins or if one team wins. Really? Imagine a swimming gala. Okay? Here's a swimming gala and a school is preparing for an inter-school gala. And so the swimmers come to practice every week and they're all doing their best because they want to be selected for the team, right? At this school, on the day of the gala, when the whole school had to turn up, one child expressed unhappiness because they weren't getting a turn to swim. This child had never shown an interest in swimming, had never attended a single practice, but now someone had to make space so they could get in the swimming pool. Friends, that's a problem for me. Can you hear me, or is this thing really sounding weird? At the same school, children turn up late. This is a junior school I'm talking about. They are not allowed to be reprimanded for being late. They are not allowed to be reprimanded if they start disrupting the class. And the teacher is not empowered to say that this is not acceptable. Sure, friends, that is a web. That is a web. And you know, let's remember that the devil is a liar. He doesn't just tell outright lies. He is called the deceiver. He coats things in pretty stuff, fun things, or half-truths. So getting back to this word woke or wokeness, I looked it up. It is a term given to people who are concerned about social justice and political inequality and discrimination. Aren't we also interested in that kind of stuff? Or are we also getting sucked in where we don't know the truth from a lie anymore? Unless God's word is your standard, and we are not only reading our Bibles, but we are being led by the Holy Spirit to know what is he saying. And friends, today, I don't know about you, but I feel like God is saying something. You know, he's saying something in all sorts of ways. Suddenly, Christians don't know how to act around people anymore. They don't know how to act around communities of people who don't think the way you do. They don't know how to speak up in case they're called names, like you're a fundamentalist, or you're closed and narrow-minded, or you're irrelevant to the society. Or maybe they just think you're plain stupid. And recently I heard the term a dinosaur. Suddenly, we've been called dinosaurs if you have old-fashioned values. And I guess the message I've got today might even cause me to get cancelled somewhere, maybe on YouTube, I don't know. But my topic is called An Inconvenient Truth. An Inconvenient Truth. And I hope that as I share some scriptures with you, that you will test, as you always should, what comes from the pulpit. And you will test it against the Bible and test it against what is written in Scripture. So when I start to read my Bible, I recognize that I'm in danger of accepting the status quo. It's difficult, guys. Instead of me being light and salt in my world, suddenly being a Christian is quite unpopular. And I ask myself the question, and I wonder whether you consider it too, am I slipping into being one of the crowd? I'm accepting things, I'm silent. Maybe I'm doing things which are unhelpful and are not in keeping with being a child of God at all. None of us wants to be like that, right? And we certainly can't go around offending people or insisting on our own way. So what do I mean? What do I mean? Is God not interested in equality and social justice and fairness? Isn't he? Let's go to his word and see what he says. I'm reading from Isaiah 8, 11 to 15. And I'm trusting that it'll be up on the screen there. Yes. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. Guys, this word tremble, not joking with you, but it's coming up over and over again. You know, the Lord made the earth tremble last night, right? Maybe it woke some of you. But we sang about trembling. We sang about the earth trembling. Verse 14 says, he will keep you safe. Now this section is quite a stern warning to Israel, God's people, Israel and Judah actually, who are about to be attacked by the Assyrian army. So continuing in verse 14, but to Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many will stumble and fall, never to rise again. They will be snared and captured. And then from the book of Exodus, just whilst Moses is in the desert with the people of Israel, and he is leading them. Exodus 20, 18 to 21. Verse 18, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. Guys, I prepared this message 2 weeks ago. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we will die. Don't be afraid, Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. Wow, guys. Wow. God's definitely speaking to me. So here we have the people of Israel terrified because of thunder, smoke, and flashes of lightning as God prepares to speak. I guess I'd be terrified, wouldn't you? So the first point of my talk today is the fear of God. And this is the first inconvenient truth that I'd like to share with you today. The fear of God. Have you thought about the Israelites in the desert? Remember, they've got a cloud to lead them by day, and they've got a pillar of fire to lead them by night. So they're already used to some stuff. In fact, they've walked through the Red Sea without getting wet, guys. So they've already seen incredible and mighty things. Do you really know this God that we serve that can do such mighty things? Do I really know him? Sometimes I feel like we just put him in a box that it's about the size of my understanding. But God is not like that at all. Okay, he is not like that at all. So here are the Israelites confronted with signs and wonders, and they are trembling with fear. They are terrified. They're so scared they want Moses to rather speak to God on their behalf. Is this the kind of fear we should have of God? Let's read from the New Testament then. 1 John 1:5-10. This is Jesus' disciple and friend speaking. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now we declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, sometimes we need to have self-control. Your opinion doesn't always have to be expressed, even if it's right. You know, there are times where we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, when to say something and when it's better left unsaid. And, you know, when we come to God, he wants us to stop sinning. He wants us to stop sinning. And Moses explained to the Israelites that the reason they must fear God is so that they will stop sinning. His words were, "Don't be afraid, for God has come in this way to test you, so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning." Does your fear of God, your reverence, your view of God keep you from sinning? Or do you think he's okay? It's going to be okay. He will overlook it, like a parent that just continues to overlook poor behavior. Is that what God is like for you? Moses says he is the one you should fear, and he is the one who should make you tremble. So what are we saying? This is pretty confusing, hey? Must we be terrified of God? Well, yes. And yet Moses is saying, don't be afraid. So how does that work? We must be terrified of God but not afraid, except that our fear of him should stop us from sinning. So we pass the test by fearing God. And we're talking about reverence. We're talking about reverent fear. Moses says, get rid of the fear of coming close to God and hearing his voice. That's why he says, do not fear. So that's what we must fear. The fear you must keep is reverent fear, because our God is fearfully powerful and he is opposed to sin. He really is powerful, guys. I want to give you the most amazing quote from a man called John Piper. He's one of my favorite authors. And this is what he says. If you are running away from God because you are afraid of him, then you are not as afraid as you ought to be. In fact, your very flight is a mockery of God, presuming to think you could outrun him. If you really fear him and you love your own life, stop running, turn around, and hug his neck for dear life. The fear of the Lord must then be the fear of fleeing out of fellowship with him and into the way of sin. Therefore, the fear of God is actually full of peace, security, hope. It keeps us close to the merciful heart of God. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. He is our sanctuary. He is our shield. So proper fear of the Lord keeps us under the shadow of his wings. We need not be afraid. Which brings me to the very next inconvenient truth. We need to treat sin seriously. God does. When we come to the Lord as our Savior, he forgives our sin and he takes away that sin that separates us from him. He actually paid the penalty that we should have paid so that we could enter a relationship with God. But in reality, it's actually impossible for us to not sin, isn't it? But God takes sin seriously, and so should we. From the book of 1 John 1, starting from verse 5, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now verse 8. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Wow. So we must take sin seriously, but we can't stop sinning. What are we to do? This is a mystery that we can only accept by faith. It really is a mystery. How is it that Jesus can cleanse us from all unrighteousness? And yet we still need to come to him and ask for forgiveness. How is it? Despite our frailties and our sinful ways, God wants a relationship with you and with me. He wants us to run to him, not from him. Please hear that today. He wants us to run to him, not from him. And he is merciful and gracious. So we don't want to run from him and then enter into a whole lot of judgment and scary stuff. We must run to him. When we receive mercy, we receive forgiveness. And Paul puts it like this in Galatians 2 verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And friends, when we find our old self creeping in, we need to confess our sin and let the mercy of God reach out and change us and cleanse us. The most amazing picture that I can glean from Scripture comes from the book of John chapter 13. I'm not putting it up because I'm going to quickly give you a short précis. It is the picture of the relationship that Jesus had in this incident with his disciples. Already, it's just before Passover and they're about to eat. And Judas had already had it in his heart to betray Jesus. But Jesus took off his outer garments and he decided to wash his disciples' feet. I'm sure you remember the story. Here, Jesus is doing work that's normally done by a servant. After guests have arrived at the home, their feet have got all dusty from walking there, and the servant normally just cleans everybody's feet and welcomes them into the house. But now here's Jesus preparing to do this. And Peter becomes completely indignant. And he says, Lord, you are going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, what I'm doing, you do not understand now. But afterwards, you will understand. And Peter says, no way. You're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus' response is, if I do not wash you, you will have no share with me. Your friends, just remember, sin separates us from God, right? In that case, Peter said, you must wash my head and my hands as well. And Jesus says, the one who bathes does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. And Jesus is telling Peter he is clean, knowing that he is just about to betray him. He knows it. He predicts it. And yet he says Peter is clean. And I feel like that is such a beautiful picture of being forgiven. And yet we need to have our feet washed, right? And yeah, we need to accept the atonement that God provides for our sin, Jesus on the cross. But we need to accept the cleansing that comes from confessing our sins so that we can live with a short account. We need to do that. We need to start having a habit, having a short account with God and a short account with one another. And then your relationships will flow. So the sins that affect our daily lives, we need to confess them. Because he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins. What do I mean? What I mean is this. Run to him. My third point is the most inconvenient truth, I think. The one that maybe none of us want to hear. It is about persecution. It's the reality of being persecuted in this life. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says the following, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I guess I didn't want to read that. Maybe you don't want to hear it. But it is the Word of God. And the Word of God is there to teach us, to strengthen us, and to guide us. So in our society, we can find it's very challenging to stand up for things. Stand up for being a disciple of Jesus. And over the millennia, there have been many different challenges that Christians and believers have experienced. Some not too bad, some even taking their lives. But of late, it's become increasingly difficult to walk a Christian walk in this society. And if you want to live for Jesus today, friends, you have to expect that there will be some opposition. Question is, can you stand for truth even when everyone else isn't? Jeremiah 9 verse 3 says this, my people bend their tongues like bows to shoot out lies. They do not know me, says the Lord. Sure, my people. Is that what God says about you and me? Last week we heard from Quinton how easy it is to fall away how easy it is to fall away. And God's words to in the book of Jeremiah is, they do not know me. Please let this not be what God says of this congregation. My people do not know me. Please, Lord, no. Are you prepared to speak up for the sake of righteousness, even if you are insulted and called all kinds of names for his sake? Are you able to try loving people who don't love you or don't even like you, actually? People who think differently from you, who reject your God and the life you live? Friends, I'm not telling you to go and stand on a corner and speak hate speech to people. God loves the world. He loves it. And we need to be loving towards everyone we meet. We need to be loving. We need to show people the love of Jesus. So I'm not advocating for anybody to go out and shake your fist at anybody. I'm saying that even if they hate you, could you love them? And we can do it because of this reason. John 16 verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Don't let the devil convince you that you stand alone. You're not alone, friends. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Jesus' words, the Spirit of truth. You might even lose some respect in your community for following Jesus. Your friends, or even maybe your family, will ridicule you. I don't know. People might forsake you and say, look, I just can't be your friend anymore. You know, I can't associate with you. Have you been overlooked for a promotion because of what you believe? Maybe you didn't even get the job because of what you believe. It reminds me of this this geranium over here. I planted it, so I should know, right? I planted it from a little stick. And it's got beautiful white flowers now. But actually, if the whole world tells you that that's a geranium, doesn't make it a geranium, okay? For those people who know what flowers are, I can even believe with all my heart that that's a geranium. Okay. I can tell you it's a geranium because I planted it. But there's some people who might not know gardening and they think, yeah, nice geranium. But those who do know gardening are going to say, I don't think so. You know, and I can truly believe that it is a geranium. I can even treat it like a geranium, you know, go and stick it in the sun where this poor little plant needs shade. And so even if Google tells you it's a geranium, I'm telling you now, it's not. Okay, so there is an absolute truth about the matter. It's an impatience plant, or a busy Lizzie, if you want to use local language. So I hope you didn't think I was all foolish when I told you earlier that it was a geranium. It's just trying to get the point across. So we need to do something. What do we need to do about truth in our society today? Firstly, we need to fear God, and we need to run to him. Secondly, we need to take sin really seriously, because he did, and he does. And friends, if you're following ways that aren't pleasing to God, stop doing it now. If you've got habits that are not pleasing to him, stop it now. If you are living with sinful ways and you know they are not pleasing to God, stop it now. Because God takes things seriously. And we should too. We definitely need to expect there's going to be opposition. But it doesn't mean that we should become unkind and mean to people who think differently from ourselves. We need to love the world because Jesus did. And we need to open up our heart to the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who will help us in all the most difficult circumstances we find ourselves. And if you can't think of something kind and loving to say, don't say anything. And don't forsake meeting with other believers. We really need each other, friends. We need each other more than ever. We're a family. Run to Him. And finally, are you running from God this morning? Are you running from Him? Are you trying to hide? It's no good, you know. Just ask Jonah. You can't hide from God. You can't run from Him. You can't outrun Him. Rather run to Him. You can't just keep sinning and think that He won't see or He won't do anything about it. Ask David. When he sinned with Bathsheba, his one sin ended up becoming two big ones. You can run from Him. But if you, like David, run to Him, you will come and with a repentant heart. Friends, Psalm 139, it should be underlined in your Bible. Because that's how he ran to God. He was caught in his sin and he ran straight to God. And he confessed his sin and was restored to God. And he was called a man after God's own heart. Don't you want to be a man and a woman after God's own heart? So if you sinned and you feel like it's unforgivable, you're wrong. Run to Him. He is faithful. He is just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you and me from all unrighteousness. Doesn't sound right, doesn't sound just, but that's what He does for His children. Draw close to the throne of grace and mercy. Allow the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth, to equip you with boldness, wisdom, so that you know how to speak, when to speak, and when to be quiet. Run to Him. Those little habits that are not pleasing to God, run to Him. Let Him wash your feet and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That lifestyle that you're still living out there and nobody knows about it, God knows. Run to Him. Are you terrified of God for the wrong reason? Run to Him. Galatians 5 verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. So in closing, I want to read the same scripture I started with, Isaiah chapter 8. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. And from John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I can tell you 100 times over that that is a geranium, but it ain't. Truth has become very inconvenient today, friends. Let's not be afraid. Let's not ignore it. Just run to God. Let us run to the one who is truth. Jesus is truth. Let's run to him. Times are tough, friends. We actually need each other more than ever before. Maybe you find yourself running today. Which way are you running? Are you running from God? Are you running to him? Are you slipping away? Are you trying to sneak out the door? Are you getting into things that are drawing you away from fellowship with God? Please would you close your eyes? I would like to read again the quote from John Piper. And you can make this your prayer too. If you are running away from God because you are afraid of him, then you are not as afraid as you ought to be. In fact, your very flight is a mockery of God, presuming to think you could outrun him. If you really fear him and love your own life, stop running. Turn around and hug his neck for dear life. And this is the God we serve, friends. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you that you have drawn us into your family. Lord, we serve our Heavenly Father, who is strong and mighty and powerful. He's scary sometimes. He takes sin very seriously. But he calls us to himself. He calls us into an embrace that is full of love, full of protection. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Lord, where we find ourselves today, each one of us, we ask that you would read the issues of our heart and you would help us to run to you. That you'd help us, Lord, to pick up speed and run to you. To run to you with all our might. And hug your neck for dear life. And friends, if you're not in that place, and you don't even have a relationship with God, there's an opportunity today. We accept him by faith. We accept him by inviting him into our lives. If there's anybody here today who would like to give their life to Jesus at this point in time, please just raise your hand so I can pray with you. And if there's anyone online, please pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the penalty you paid for my sin. I know that you take sin seriously. But thank you that you purchased my freedom today. Thank you that you draw me into your circle, draw me into your embrace, and you make me a child of God. And Lord, even as we appreciate being in your love and in your family, Lord, we know that there are things that maybe aren't pleasing to you, and we ask you today to highlight them so that we can run to you and receive forgiveness. In the mighty, strong, and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.